It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross.
Amen.
If we keep our eyes on Jesus, all the other problems don't seem quite as big, do they?
Amen.
I'll preach a little bit and then we'll go home. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. I love this text. I love this passage of Scripture. I'm going to start reading in verse number 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Verse number 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him whom we have to do. Verse number 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I believe this would be a fitting text for us tonight, because I love services where God just pours it on us, where people testify, where people are singing. You can tell that it's real. You can tell that it's genuine. I love those mountaintop services, as you would say. But oftentimes, I believe that in our Christian lives, we're weary in this body of flesh. And many a times, we're oftentimes not as inclined to go before that throne of grace when we're on that mountaintop. Most of the time it's in the valley. Most of the time it's in the shadows of darkness. Most of the time it's under the hand of oppression that we feel that we can come as often as we need to and come as frequently as we should. But many a times God blesses and God pours out His Spirit and God saves folks and God begins to stir up a revival, and we forget that He's where it's all coming from. Do not forget tonight, church, everything here tonight, everything that has happened in the lives of each and every single individual this week and those who have been saved, it's all for the glory of God. It's all for the cause of Christ. It's all to bring praise and honor and glory to His holy name. And in Hebrews chapter number 4, I believe we see a very special, particular passage of Scripture. It's near and dear to my heart. I love the book of Hebrews. The Hebrew writer wrote this book with one emphasis in mind, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote it to the Hebrew people to explain to them that Jesus, the perfect Son of God, as one commentator wrote it, God's perfect man and man's perfect God, the man Christ Jesus, who was 100% God and yet 100% man, God in the flesh. He writes of this man Christ Jesus, and he explains and he exhorts the Hebrews unto faith that Christ is better than the law, that Christ is better than Moses, that Christ is better than the temple, that Christ is better than the angels, that Christ is better than the priesthood, that Christ is better than the Passover lamb, and that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of each and every single messianic prophecy that we find in the Old Testament. It's Christ and Christ alone. And in this passage of Scripture, he makes a few statements in these following these last three verses that we've read. And I promise I won't keep you long. I just want to point out just a few things that I see in this Scripture in verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now, I'm a Baptist preacher. And as a Baptist, I believe in a doctrine called the priesthood of believers. And basically, simply, what that is that you don't have to go through another person to get to God. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to go to a preacher. You don't have to go to a deacon. You don't have to go to your mother. You don't have to go to your father. You don't have to go to your brother, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles. You can get directly to God from where you are. And the Bible says that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ always has been and always will be the only way to God. And the Hebrew writer, he tells them of that. He says it, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have a heavenly connection. The Bible says that Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. The Bible calls Him our advocate with the Father. And I may have given this illustration before, but I've only heard so many stories in my life. And John Phillips, he wrote a book about the priesthood, and he wrote a book about this book of Hebrews, and he gave an illustration of a Moabite boy that met a Jewish boy over the hills that overlooked the city of Jerusalem. And the Moabite boy ran into the Jewish boy, and as he came over the crest of that hilltop, he looked down and he saw the temple, and he saw the smoke rising from off the altar, and he could tell that there was something serious, that there was something holy, that there was something to be revered that was going on there. And the Moabite boy, he stopped that boy, he said, "Hey," he said, "won't you tell me what's going on?" He said, "Well, that's the temple, that's where God is." He said, "That's where God is?" He says, "How can I get to where God is?" He says, "You can't." He said, "Well, why is it that I can't get to where God is?" He said, "Well, you're not a Jew. You're not a Jewish man. You can't get there." He said, "So you're telling me if I was a Jew, I could get there?" He said, "Well, kinda." He said, "Tell me more." He said, "Well, you'd have to be a Jew." But he said, "If you wanted to get back there where God was, you'd have to be a priest, and you'd have to be so old, and you'd have to be consecrated. You'd have to be of the tribe of Levi. There's lots of things that happen." He said, "So you're telling me if I was one of those men, and I was one of those priests, and I was a Jewish man, I could get back there to where God is? I could get there to where He was?" He said, "Well, not really. You'd only be able to do it once a year, and you'd have to be the high priest, and you'd have to have the atoning blood of the Passover lamb to take back there and to pour across the mercy seat, and then you could actually get to where God was." My friend, this evening, you don't have to have any of those things. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, the Bible tells us in the Gospel account of Matthew that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. The reason it was rent in twain from top to bottom was to show that man couldn't make his way to God. If it was man making his way past that veil, it would have been ripped from the bottom to the top. But I'm glad that God took care of the way. God made Himself a way. God made a door for us to heaven, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Hebrew writer, he says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." We have a heavenly connection.
Amen.
A heavenly connection this evening. You can get to God from right there where you're sitting because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross.
Amen.
Because of the blood that He shed to pay for your sins and His glorious resurrection. Because of the gospel, you have a heavenly connection this evening. Not only do we see a heavenly connection, we see a heavenly compassion. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." You know, many a times we question why hard times come in our life. We question why lonely times come. We question why hard things come our way and hardships and trials overtake us. And we fail to remember that oftentimes these things happen to make us more acquainted with the suffering and grief of Christ, that we might be more conformed to His image. And we look to these outside world, and we look to our brothers, and we look to our sisters, and we might think to ourselves, and we might say to ourselves, "They just don't understand. They just don't understand. There's no way they could comprehend what I'm going through. There's no way they've ever felt the way that I feel." But we have a heavenly Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We have a high priest.
There,
the high sheriff of heaven knows every sorrow you feel. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 regarding His sacrifice for our sins, it said, "He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him." Jesus Christ felt every sorrow that you've ever felt. He felt every pain. He felt every grief. It was not only a blood transaction for our sins at Calvary's cross. He took upon Him the shame, the despising, the mocking, the heartache, the ridicule, the pain, everything that we would feel for Christ's sake. He has felt that. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And many Bible critics, they'd see that passage of Scripture and they'd say, "Well, that's not true. He couldn't have been tempted in all points like as we are. Jesus never had a wife, so He couldn't have been tempted into adultery. There's no way that He could have felt that. That's not what it's talking about." You look at the temptation of Christ on Mount Tabor, when the devil took him up there and he tempted him in three ways. Remember we preached about it the other night? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was perfect, and he was holy, and he was righteous, and he was without sin.
Amen.
And get this, he was willing to suffer. Willing to feel that pain. Willing to take upon a body of flesh filled with anguish and pain and distress and heartache that is far more imaginable than you and I will ever be able to comprehend. He's been there. When you're lonely, he's been there.
Amen.
When you're hated, he's been there. When you're ridiculed, when you're mocked, when you're despised, he's been there. Not only do we have a heavenly connection and a heavenly compassion, verse number 16, and I'll finish with this tonight. We have a heavenly commute. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you sing these hymns, you ought to sing as if you're standing in the throne room of God before the presence of Christ Almighty. When you bow your head and when you bow your heart in prayer, you are in the very throne room and presence of God. It's no different than if you were in heaven right now. He says, let us therefore boldly come before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It is a heavenly commute. It is a heavenly journey that we take in prayer each and every single time. We bow our hearts to Him. We are going to where He is, and we have that privilege because of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary.
Amen.
Because of what He did on that cross. I was thinking about this earlier, Brother Lowell. I was thinking about that verse, and I was thinking about how oftentimes we forfeit peace and we bring upon ourselves the burdens and the worries of this life because we don't pray the way that we ought to pray as Christians.
Yep.
The songwriter said, oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And I got to thinking, Brother Lowell, about when we make engagements, when we make appointments with one another. And I tell Brother Larry, you know, Brother Larry, 9 o'clock tomorrow night, we're going to go fishing, okay? And he's ready. He's got his tackle bag. He's got his rod and reel. He caught the bait. He's there on the bank. He's waiting. And I don't show up. And there's like, oh, maybe something happened. Maybe he just couldn't get out. And I see him that next day, maybe that next morning. I say, oh, I'll be there tonight. I'll be there tonight for sure. We're going to fellowship. We're going to spend time together. We're going to have a good time. And that next night, he's there. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting. And I don't show up. I think many a times we do that to God. I wonder if he looks down on us from heaven and he sees us scrolling on our phones.
Yeah.
He sees us watching that television set, just numbing our minds, just wasting time as it ticks away. And there's an empty spot at that altar, at the throne of grace,
yeah,
where we can find all our help and all our mercy. And we say, God, we need you. He says, where were you? He said, I've been here all day. Don't ever forsake the privilege that you have in prayer.
Amen.
That is a holy, supernatural, spiritual privilege that you have in Christ that oftentimes we take for granted. Just like Miss Lillian and Brother Lowell testified just a minute ago, there's plenty of stuff that needs prayed for. There's plenty of young Christians that need prayed for. You guys have a preacher that needs prayed for, believe me. A church that needs prayed for. Lost folks that need prayed for. Missionaries that need prayed for.
Amen.
Church services that need prayed for. There's so much that we could take to God. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. What a good God we serve. He's perfect, majestic, and holy, and He loves us.
Amen.
He desires you. He desires fellowship with you. He desires for you to overturn every aspect of your life, every essence of your being, to give it to Him entirely. He desires that of you this evening. He's a personal God. He's a living God. He's really real. And He loves you this evening. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just one moment? With every head bowed and every eye closed, folks are already coming to the altar. I wonder this evening if there's any Christians in here that'd be honest and say, "Preacher, sometimes I don't quite take advantage of that opportunity like I should. Sometimes I forget just how wonderful it is to have that heavenly connection, to know that I'm saved by the grace of God." Maybe you would come to the altar tonight. Maybe you come to the altar and say, "Preacher, sometimes I forget that Jesus suffered too. Sometimes I forget that He was lonely too. Sometimes I forget that He had these same feelings, this same heartache that I carry. Sometimes I forget that He's touched with the feeling of my infirmity. Sometimes I forget that He cares. Sometimes I'm not as faithful in prayer as I should be." If you're anything like me, and I believe you are, we're made of the same stuff here this evening. Prayer is the hardest discipline in my Christian life. The hardest discipline. If you do it the way that God wants it done, if you're praying in the Spirit, if you're praying in the Holy Ghost, as the Bible says, I believe that it is a discipline for the Christian. I wonder if you're in here this evening, you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, some part of that message or another spoke to my heart, and I know I could do better." God bless your hands all over the place. If you want to come to the altar, come and pray. I invite you. If not, I'll ask if you sing with me. Page 316 in the hymn book, I've decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Sing it with me, church. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back,
no turning back.